26, and we're going to be looking at verses 3 and 4, probably a passage that many of you know, as we can look to the future in the millennium, but we can also look at it now and see what Jesus, God, is to us. Recently, I have been thinking, this is going to sound kind of funny, I've been thinking a lot on the mind and a lot on thoughts. And it's amazing how capable we are with our minds and with our thoughts to do so much. The minds, I've mentioned this even in the last year or so, how much our minds are capable of doing. And we can work our way into something really quickly with a train of thought, with a mind that, you know, with a rabbit trail. Have you ever daydreamed before or started thinking about something and I hesitate to say digressed, but you know, you start thinking about one thing. Sometimes Melissa will ask me a question or I'll say something and the question will be, what, how did you get to that? You know, like with what's going on through the day, and you stop and you think, I don't know. And you had to trace your thoughts. You had to, okay, I was thinking about this, and where did I get that? And, oh yes, I was thinking about that. Where did that come from? And you got to go all the way back, and then, oh, you said this, and that got me thinking about that, and then I thought about this, and then I thought about that. How did I end up there? And we go so far with our thoughts, and you know, that can be okay, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with it. We've got to be very careful, because before long, the Holy Spirit is not controlling us. Our thoughts are. God never said in His Word that our thoughts are supposed to control us. Instead, God wants to be in control of our thoughts, and He needs to be in control of us. That means we've got to be very disciplined. Do you understand what the word discipline means? Discipline is, what I tell my children is this, discipline is the ability to tell yourself no. Discipline is having to make a decision to do something that you don't feel like, want to, whatever, you've got to make a decision. And you know, I can tell my children this, you can discipline yourself or others will have to discipline you. And that's so true. You can discipline yourself in anything. You get into the military, and what's the one of the military's goals, among many, is to teach you to discipline yourself so that you don't have to have that drill sergeant there with you at all times of the day to tell you what to do. And their goal would be to discipline you so that when you're out there in the battlefield, you're going to be disciplined to make that right decision on your own with nobody else, you know, a drill sergeant there telling you what to do. But in the beginning, there's got to be a drill sergeant. They've got to do that so that they instill discipline with you. And again, all discipline really is discipline when it becomes self-discipline. Does that make sense? Discipline is really the true definition of, you know, the definition of discipline is when you're doing it yourself. You are disciplining yourself. That takes discipline. You are learning to tell yourself no. And that's not always easy. That's hard. But I'll tell you folks that we've got to learn to discipline our minds because our minds can go crazy. Our minds are so powerful and our minds are so vulnerable to start thinking. And folks, God did not say that your minds are inspired and your thoughts are inspired and your thoughts are of God. They can come from God, but they can come from yourself as well. They can come from the devil. They can come from outside places. And we're capable of thinking anything. Have you ever thought something that you said, again, where did that come from? A random thought right in the middle of something, and you say, where did that come from? It's because our minds are capable. And just because you think something doesn't mean that it came from God. You understand that? I think a lot of people get trapped into thinking that they thought it, therefore it must be a God. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. And I'm even right in the middle of asking the Lord to teach me to learn His voice. Because His voice is difficult sometimes, and we can confuse ourselves, the Holy Spirit, the devil, our flesh, and all these noises can come in. And we've got to be able to discern what's from God. And I'll tell you how we learn to discern that is we got to know who the person of God is. We've got to get into the Word of God and understand all of Scripture that works together. And I'll tell you, in fact, a lot of times we as Christians can take a portion of God's Word and we can just take it solely by itself and we can get off track because we're not on with all the parts of Scripture, all the truth that's available to us. And we can get on a spiritual thought journey, if I could say that, that's even leading us away from the truth, even though it's a partial truth itself. We've got to stick with all of Scripture. And so if you're here this morning and you struggle with your thoughts, and when I say that, there could be all different avenues of thoughts. Worry, fear, those are things of our thoughts. Discouragement and depression and all of that. We're talking about a lot of times it's where our thoughts are. And we need to be disciplined with our thoughts and stick with the truth. You've heard the phrase that the horse needs to come before the cart. And truth needs to come before our thoughts and our desires and our passions and our emotions. Folks, we cannot be emotionally and thought driven. We cannot be driven that way. We've got to be driven by the horse, which in this case is the truth, a solid truth of God and His Word that doesn't change, which we'll see this morning. And so all of this, I've entitled this message, A Mind Stayed on Thee. A Mind Stayed on Thee. And of course, we're in Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. Again, the capabilities of our minds that can be so incredible. I want you to pay attention to these two verses, Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. Here's what God's Word says. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. A mind stayed on thee. I want to focus on this phrase just for a few moments. Folks, this is the Word of God. Why do I take this book right now and get up in front of a group of 75, 80 people, and why do I spend 35, 40, 45 minutes, whatever it will turn out to be, why do I spend this time talking, or what some would call lecturing, about this? What's so important about this? Well, what I hold in my hand and what you have in your hand or is there in front of you in the pew in front of you is a copy of God's Word. This is God's revealed person to us through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. It's God Himself giving Himself to us. This book right here that is inspired, the Word is inspired. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration means God breathed. God gave you, through His breath, this book. And He used a number of different men to write this book. This is God's Word through men. They're using their personalities in their way, but it's His Word. So this is God's message to you. Our job is to read it and discover the truth, discovering what God has to share to me. God here in Isaiah chapter 26 is talking about, probably in the most immediate context, the millennium and how to keep our minds set on Him. But even with us right now, from the first coming of Christ to the second coming of Jesus Christ, how we are going to keep our minds fixed on Him and how we can have, some have titled a message preaching on these two verses, perfect peace. How we can rest. How we don't have to have all of that noise going on inside of us that can just almost drive us crazy. And His answer is here in Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. And I want to share this with you today. So we have God's Word coming to us. The most important thing from this Word is understanding the fact that God loves us so much that He sent His Son to die for us on the cross. The fact of the matter is, as God says in His Word, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us is a sinner. We do wrong. We go against this Word and we do wrong. As a result of that, He says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin, that means the earnings of our sin. When we sin, we're earning something. The difference between a wage and And a gift is simply a working for something. If you get a gift from your boss or somebody else, you didn't earn it, you didn't do anything, it's just simply because they loved you. If you got a wage, it's because you've earned it. You've put in the hours at an agreed price or wage. If you work for an hour, I'll give you $10. Every hour that you work, another $10. That's an agreed upon wage. You work for it, you get it. It's not because your boss loves you and cares for you. It's because you came to an agreement and you decided that you were going to work for that $10. That's a wage. It's something that you're working for. A gift is something that is not worked for. Somebody gives it to you because they love you. I'm simply going to give. You don't have to give anything. I give this to you free and clear. Folks, if there's anything paid for, if there's anything given, it's not a gift. It becomes a wage. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. You see, when you choose to go against God and His Word, you're doing things and you're working your way towards eternal damnation in hell, eternal fire. God never intended you to go there. God only made that for the devil and his angels. But when we reject Jesus Christ, when we reject His truth, then we go. And that is an unforgivable sin, if I could put it all. God forgive all sin, but He cannot forgive the sin of a final rejection of Jesus Christ. Okay? Some have referred to that sin as the unpardonable sin. By the way, people are scared to death. This is kind of on the side note. People get sometimes scared to death of, oh, I committed the unpardonable sin. Because in the passage, he talks about even speaking a word or something like that. I hope I didn't commit it. And boy, the penalty for the unpardonable sin is everlasting fire. Guess what? That's not the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin in the Scriptures is when we ultimately, in the end, reject Jesus Christ. We will not have Him, and there is no forgiveness for that. There will be eternal damnation. The wages of sin is death. And if I were to end the message right here, that would be a very devastating and sad bit of news. But that isn't where the message ends, and that's not where God's Word ends. He says, for God so loved the world, John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the greatest message in the Word of God, that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost, and all you have to do is put your faith and trust in Him. I ask you, have you done that today? I trust that you will if you have not. If you have, then God wants to keep you in perfect peace as your mind is stayed on Him. He doesn't intend for you to be in despair. He doesn't intend for you to be in discouragement. He doesn't intend for you to be an emotional wreck. He doesn't intend for you to live in misery. He doesn't intend for you to live in guilt and doubt and fear. God doesn't intend that. And so what He gives to us is in Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4, He gives us a pattern in which we need to follow to keep us from that, to keep our minds fixed. And I want to look at that phrase, a mind stayed on Thee. What does it mean to have a mind stayed on Thee? First of all, let's look at the word mind. Okay, the word mind. I know He says that will keep him in perfect peace. So it's way down the list of words here, but I want to start with the mind. The mind is the intellectual framework. Really, if you will take the Hebrew word that is given here for the word mind, it's very much a structure word. It's like the framework. Have you ever driven by a construction site when none of the siding and none of the, even the plywood, none of the outside is on, but you just see the stick figure that's there, and you see the foundation that's there, and you see the sticks that are coming up, the 2x4s or the 2x6s or whatever it is. You see that framework is there, and that framework is like the bones of the body. We have a framework inside of our bodies, and that's our bones. It's the skeletal system that is our framework. What would happen to you if all of a sudden your framework were taken out? Kind of a funny sight, actually, if you just thought through it. If you took out our bones, what would happen? We would probably just go, whew, we'd go right down. Okay? God intended for us to have a framework. Our minds, listen to this. This is so important. Our minds are a framework in our bodies. It's a framework. It's a structure. If the mind goes, the body's going to struggle. We're going to doubt. We're going to fear. Oh, a mind state on Christ is so important. The mind is an intellectual framework, the framing specifically of our thinking and our thoughts, the framework. Let me ask you a question as we continue on with developing this thought. What is the framework of your mind? Let's get specific. There are different frameworks for a building. Really, a building can be a stick building made out of wood, but a building could be made out of other things than wood. A building could be made out of block or brick. A building can be made out of metal and steel. A building could be made out of, in some cases, mud or straw. A building can be made out of a number of different things, and I know you probably have another 10 besides what I just mentioned. But a building can be made out of a number of things, and what is part of that framework is really important. Because you can make some things and build a framework, and if the framework doesn't have integrity or isn't proven, then what can happen to that building? It can fall, right? I can decide that I can go outside, and I've got a creek, and the kids were out there playing in the creek this week a little bit, and they were finding pieces of clay. We got a lot of clay around our place, and there was some clay, and there was some mud, and there were some mixtures, and we were trying to decide what was clay, and what was mud, and what was mixture, and all of that. And, you know, clay could work for some things, but what if I went outside, and I wanted to do an addition, and I thought to myself, you know what, I'm getting tired of paying so much money for people to come in and do this. Why can't we make our own? And we have a lot of clay around here. We got a lot of mud. Why don't we go ahead and build an addition onto our house with this mud and clay that we have here? That's a great idea because, you know, the kids made some little things. They put them out there in the sun. They dried and they got hardened. Although you know that probably with a little bit of pressure, we could probably break some of those things, okay? But let's say that I decide to put an addition on my home and I decide to use mud and clay. And I build something that's there. What's going to happen to that the next... again, if I just do that, and I don't put some structure in the middle of it or behind it or whatever, in the culture that we live in here, in the geography that we live in here, what's going to happen to that new addition that I put on? It's probably going to wash away with all the rain that we get all the time. Now, I know we're like in a drought right now in Pennsylvania. It hasn't rained for about 4 or 5 days. And so, but just wait, because it's going to come. We've got a couple more days, and then we're going to get some more rain. But anyway, probably it's going to get washed away, it's going to ruin, and it's not going to be very strong. And all it's going to take is my youngest son running into it, and it'll fall over, okay? And so the framework is important, right? The framework is important, and our minds are a framework, and what we think about is very, very, very important, and it can mean life or death, honestly, in our lives. My question to you is, what is the framework in your mind? What is the structure? What is it that keeps it from moving, or what moves it? What do you think about through the day? What is the framework of your mind? The mind is a framework. It's an intellectual framework. It's the framing of our thinking. It's what our lives are built upon. And I'll tell you what. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Brothers and sisters, this is not a message that I thought up. This is a message that comes from the Scriptures. We've got to be careful what we think. Pastor, so I've got to be disciplined with my mind? What's the answer? Yes. As you think in your heart, so are you and will you be. I believe, listen to this, and this, I'm not being loony when I say this. I really believe that our minds are powerful enough to get us physically sick. Physically. You can think yourself into sickness. Now, I'm not saying that all sickness comes because you let your mind go astray. I'm not saying that if you're sick here today, Pastor, you're saying it's all in my mind. I am not saying that. Please don't quote me as saying that I thought of this in my mind, you know, and my sickness is all in my brain. No. I'm saying that our minds are capable of putting us into that situation. There have been different times when I have thought to myself, oh, I've got this coming up this next week. I can't get sick. Oh, no, I shook hands with so-and-so and they had a cold. Oh, no. You know, and all I do is start thinking about getting sick and thinking about getting sick. Guess what I get? I get sick. I honestly think that we can work ourselves into certain things. I can worry myself into having a stomach ache. Have you ever done it before? Folks, our minds are so capable. And God says that you've got to be careful. Your minds have got to have a certain framework. I can be having a wonderful day, driving along in my pickup, doing whatever, and if I let my mind think about something sad, I can be in discouragement before I open it up at home. I have to, personally, and some people struggle more than others, but very personally, I have to be very, 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 very careful with my mind. My father has a lot of physical illnesses. He struggles, and he has from birth, really. He's got different things that are wrong with him, and praise the Lord, he's what is he, 64, 65, I think. He's right around there, but my dad, he's still going, and I appreciate many of you. You ask from time to time how my dad is doing, and praise the Lord, he's still doing. He keeps going. But my dad's got a lot of physical problems. At any time of the day, and I've done it many, many times, to my fault, because it's not right, because my mind is not stayed on the Lord. But yet many times I've been driving, or my mind has been unoccupied with God, and I've thought of my dad, and I start thinking about all that he was to me and how good of a dad he was and how much I love him. And then I start thinking, and remember the progression or digression? I start thinking about his physical situation. And then I start wondering how long he'll be able to last. And then I start wondering, oh, what if I get a phone call today about hearing that my dad is in the hospital? Or even worse, I've thought many times, what if I hear today that my dad dies? And then I've thought, what will I do? How will I respond? And then all of a sudden, I realize that, oh, I'm on 743 driving home and my dad's okay, and he's still alive, and as far as I know, there's nothing wrong. But right before I woke up to reality, I was already imagining how I would respond there at the graveside service. And I've worked myself up into tears, and what would I do? And all of a sudden, the Lord says, Sean, what would you do? You're not there. By the way, if you're not there, God has no intentions for you to try to get there. There's no need for you to think about what you're going to do, because God hasn't given you the grace yet to deal with that. But I can tell you for sure that when you go through it, God will give you the grace and He will take care of it. Why put myself in a situation that God is not there? He's not there. Folks, we've got to be careful with our minds. What if is a dangerous question, and it's not a godly question. What if I didn't do that? What if I didn't? I'll tell you, if you start thinking about your salvation, you start asking what if, you'll work yourself into not being saved. It's not what if, it is He did it. It is finished. It did happen. You see, you've got to put the truth before your emotions and your thoughts. Mind, it's your structure, it's your framework of your thinking. Up and down and this way or that way. Double-mindedness. I ask you, where's your mind? Is it on the truth? He says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. The word stayed is to lean or to rest on, to be supported and sustained by. One commentator put it this way, it's a fixed disposition. It's later defined in this verse as the word trust. Trust. I am wholly trusting upon, right now, this platform. I'm about maybe 20 inches above solid ground, even though this is pretty solid right here. But it's solid because it's a pretty big platform and it's got a good structure underneath. And I am fairly fixed right here, but I am placing my faith in this platform right here. You see that? I'm placing my faith in it. I'm trusting. I'm not standing here like, I hope this thing at any minute, you know, this could cave in. Now, let's say that one of you came and put a sheet of paper right across here, and you supported it with straws, and it was the same height as this, 20 inches high, and you supported it, and you said, Pastor, feel free. I built a structure, and you can walk on that. Again, supported by columns of straws and paper. Do you think that I would go like this and step on it? Do you think I would? Now you say, well, 20 inches is not that big of a deal. Maybe I would risk my 20 inches. What if it was 20 feet? Would I do it? Of course I wouldn't do it. Why? Because it's not solid, okay? It's not firm. It's not fixed. Now, the word here is stayed. It's trust. It's rest. I would not trust the paper and the straws, but I do trust the plywood and the boards that are underneath or whatever the makeup of this platform is. I trust it. I wouldn't do it because of what it is, but I could step on this right there, and I would trust it because as I look at it, the structure looks pretty strong. I would trust those pews. I would step on that piano. Probably wouldn't be the best thing to do, but I would step on it. There would be things, but there would be certain things that I would not do. And that's because I don't trust. The word stayed is that you have enough faith. You're going to put your emphasis, your thoughts there because it's trustworthy. The word stayed is to lean on. You can put your weight there. And I'm okay with it. I would have enough confidence in this podium right here to sit on. I would sit on that because I see what it's made out of. And if I jumped up here and sat, it's because I had confidence that this thing was going to hold me up. He says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. It's fixed. It's a fixed disposition that I am trusting in this thing. You demonstrate trust all the time by certain things. You get on chairs. You stand on this. You men, you get on the ladder to fix something. You're placing your faith in that ladder because it's a good aluminum ladder or whatever ladder you use. When you step on it, you're putting your faith. You're trusting in that. You've got a fixed disposition. You're not worried in your struggle. And when you start to worry, that's when you say, I don't know that I want to step in that. Can you hold me? Can you brace me? Can you do this? Put a rope around me. I'm going to tie this. You're doing all kinds of things because you're not sure. You're not really stayed on that. Okay? Do you understand the word stayed? It's fixed. It's focused. I'm leaning on it. I'm willing to put myself there because I trust it. Okay? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. You remember in Ruth, we just went through the book of Ruth. Chapter 1 and verse 18 spoke of Ruth as being steadfastly minded that she was not going to leave Naomi. Remember that? She had her mind fixed. She wasn't going to be argued with. She wasn't going to be convinced any other way. She was already convinced that she ought to follow Naomi. That's what we're talking about here. Convinced in what? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on. This is thinking. This is the focus. This is reliance. Not on the waves. You remember Peter when he wanted to walk on water? Water is not a stable thing to walk on. If you've ever tried it, you've stepped right through it. You cannot do it. But Peter asked the Lord, and he kept his eyes on Jesus. And of course, as soon as he took his eyes off Jesus, he went. His eyes were on Jesus, and that was his solid ground. Okay? Let's get to the key word here. Thee. That's the key word. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Who's thee? He tells us in this passage, who's thee? Thee is the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Who is that? All caps with Lord, that is Jehovah. Jehovah, I am. But he defines Jehovah even greater here on thee, Lord. Or Lord Jehovah. What does he refer to at the end of verse 4? Everlasting strength. Now this set of words here, everlasting strength, is going to refer to what we can have our minds.
and for us in our lives. But he is everlasting strength. Everlasting strength. Somebody put these words, one commentator said this, it's the rock of ages that does not and will not ever, never move. Everlasting strength. I feel pretty secure when I stand on a big rock. A big rock, a big solid bedrock that you know is not going to move because it's so strong, it hasn't moved. It's stayed there for all the years that you've ever lived. You know, that doesn't move. I can't do anything to shake it. Listen to this, folks. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind, the framework of our thoughts, is fixed and leaning 100% and trusting on, relying upon, trusting in the rock of ages that won't move. You say, Pastor, how can I keep my mind on what's right? You see, Jehovah, listen, everybody listen to this. Jehovah is an exclusive name of God. I am. And there is no other. Folks, everything in life changes and moves. There's one thing and one person in life that does not change or move. And that's Jehovah, that's God, that's Jesus. He doesn't move. Have you ever woke up discouraged? Have you ever woke up struggling? Have you ever woke up excited and happy and ready to take on the day? Have you ever woke up kind of in the middle? And I could say another, 20 things, and yeah, we've all been there, up and down and all around. How am I, Pastor, going to keep my mind on right? You say, because my mind is capable of going up and down and all around. How can I do that? Pastor, you don't understand my mind. It can take me anywhere. And within minutes, I can be depressed and discouraged, or I can be excited and whatever. And I'll tell you that the reason why our minds are up and down and all around is because they're not stayed upon the right thing. You see, if I, as a person, let me ask you a question. Is my body capable of moving up and down and all around wherever it can go? Absolutely. I am unstable. I am not stable. I'm just, I'm a certain weight, I'm a certain height, I'm a certain makeup, but I can be moved very easily. And there's nothing that I can do that a group of you could not move me or do whatever. I can't. I'm movable. That it's not my constitution to say I'm steadfast and like a rock. So you say, then how can I keep myself from moving? Well, then I've got to attach myself to something that is unmovable. I've got to join with something that is unmovable. And as that is unmovable, then I become unmovable. If I'm not attached to it, then I am still very vulnerable to go back and forth with the winds and the waves of this world. My mind can take me everywhere. How can I keep my mind from going up and down and all around? What's the answer? It's a mind stayed on him. You see, if I'm thinking about Jesus, everybody get this, because you struggle with the different things and why you worry and fear and doubt and get depressed and discouraged. The reason why is because you let your mind go off of Jesus. Jesus is a solid rock that is not moved. He is unmovable, and his truth is unmovable. His truth is always truth. His truth is always right. There's never an exception to that truth. It's always true, and I can claim that. The reason why I doubt and fear is because my mind goes off of that unmovable truth. And I look at the waves. I look at the wind. Get your mind on the unmovable truth. And it's only when our minds are on the unmovable truth that our minds will not move, that our minds will stay with the truth. All of that to say, Jesus needs to be everything to you. Pastor, I don't have the capability of thinking about Jesus all day long. Can I tell you this? If Jesus is in all your thoughts, you will not be discouraged. You will not be depressed. You will not doubt. You won't fear. And you won't be movable. Now, I just made a very bold statement, and I'm going to say it again. If your mind, listen to all of you who struggle with discouragement, depression, fear, doubts, worries, and all that comes and everything in between and outside of that. If you struggle with that, the answer is to get your mind fixed and stayed upon Jesus, who is unmovable. When you attach yourself to the unmovable, you become unmovable. So if we look at the opposite, what's the reason why I'm an emotional wreck and stressed and up and down and all around? What's the answer? Our minds are not fixed upon the unmovable. Our minds are going out there to that which is movable. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Peace. Oh, any of you would love that. Perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. What's verse 4 say? Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. That word everlasting strength is the rock of all ages. The idea is unmovable. It's an unmovable rock. I ask you, what are you thinking of? In the last few moments, I want to give you a very practical and helpful way to keep yourself attached to Jesus in your mind. And I've already given it to you. I've already given it to you many times under the title of Practicing His Presence. It's being mindful of Jesus in the past, the present, and the future. Now, if you're like me, you say, Pastor, but I have a job. And I can think about him for a little bit, 10 minutes in the morning when I'm reading my Bible. But you know what? I got to keep my mind on the road because I drive into the city and I do this. Okay, I understand that. Pastor, I can't think of him because when I get a job, my job is engaging and I've got to be thinking about what I'm doing and I've got to read the plans and I've got to do this and I've got to do that. I cannot think about Jesus when I'm doing that. I'm not capable. And I've talked to people and say, you know what? It's just impossible because when I get to work or when I'm doing this, I've got to have my mind engaged with that. How in the world? Pastor, it's impossible to do that in my line of work. I can't do that. I want to tell you something. God would never ask us to do something that's impossible. It is possible, but I think we're looking at it in the wrong way. Does God want our minds on our jobs when we're working on the job? What do you think? Of course he does. You've got to have it. You have to have it settled on that. You've got to be doing what you're doing. But as I've already shared with you before, I just want to give you something in just the last couple of minutes. I want to give you something that's so practical. It's profound, but yet it's so simple that and it's what helps us to keep our mind focused on Jesus throughout the day. As we put this all together, by the way, the results of our mind stayed on Christ are what? What does he say? He says two things here. It starts off with it, perfect peace. Wow, that's completeness, that's soundness, that's contentment, where most of you want to be. The end result is everlasting strength. That means not just Jesus or God, that's for you. And how to? Two things. And again, I've already given them to you. Number one is looking in the past. It's looking behind and being thankful. It's being thankful. The problem with our world is we're not thankful to God. We're not thankful for what he's done. Now, I don't have time this morning to develop that. It's the truth. The reason why people are, everybody listen, the reason why people are the way they are today is because they're not thankful for what God has done. They just go, not a big deal. They ignore it. They might even deny it. They're not thankful for what God has done. God has done so much for every single person that has breath on this earth. And the reason why they're not mindful of God is because they're not thankful. The reason why the Romans chapter 1 people were so debauched in their lifestyle, which, by the way, Romans 1 defines today, our wicked, 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 wicked lifestyle and world that we live in. It's 100% defined in Romans chapter 1, and the reason given in Romans 1 was they weren't thankful and they didn't glorify God. How can I attach myself to Jesus? I'll tell you, the first thing to do is be thankful for everything that God does. When you wake up in the morning, you ought to be thankful that you had a night's sleep. You say, Pastor, what if it was a bad night's sleep? You ought to be thankful for what God gave. Did you sleep on a bed? Pastor, I didn't even sleep on a bed. Well, praise the Lord, it was under a roof. Pastor, I didn't have a roof. Then praise the Lord that it was night and you didn't have day. Okay? You can think long enough to find something to be thankful for. And I'll tell you, it's more than what I described. We have a lot. Most of us have that nice bed. Most of us have a roof. Most of us have, you know, that cool air. Most of us have that place that we can sleep. I'll tell you what, we've got to start being thankful. Throughout the day, you know what? God, thank you. Thank you for helping me get to my workplace. Thank you for helping me with that drive. You know what? My guess is that most of you, some of you might say, God, would you help me to have a safe trip there? But let me ask you a question. How many of you thank God when you get there? I'm not asking you to raise your hands. But I'll tell you what, that's a good start. God, thank you for the night's sleep. God, thank you for this breakfast. God, thank you for these clothes that I can put on. God, thank you for that the car started. God, thank you that I got to work and I didn't get in a wreck and I didn't have a flat tire. God, thank you for a place of employment. God, thank you for a boss that cares. And again, for any one of these things, you could say, yeah, but what if you don't? Find something that you... Yeah, there's always something to be thankful for. God, thank you for this place to work. God, thank you for this paycheck. God, thank you that I get to go home now. God, thank you that I can stop at the store and pick up this. God, thank you that the store is not closed down. God, thank you for the money to give to do it. God, thank you. I want to tell you something. If you would be thankful for all that God does, you would be in constant communication with Him all day. Because God is always doing something for you. You say, what's He doing for me right now? God, thank you for a church that I can go and hear the truth. God, thank you for a padded pew that I can sit here and listen to the truth. God, thank you for a place that has air conditioning that works most of the time. God, thank you. God, thank you for the car. I'm telling you, we're not thankful enough. Are you getting what I'm saying? How can I attach myself to the rock? I want to tell you, start being thankful. If God is about this much of your day, just being thankful for the things that He does will take it from here to here. Just being thankful. You say, you know what? What about the workplace when I got to... You know what? When you're there and you're looking over those plans, say, God, thank you that you gave me plans and I'm not doing this without plans. When you're there and you have a boss that you're struggling with, God, thank you that you at least gave me somebody to direct what I'm supposed to do today. God, thank you. There's always something to be thankful for. And as you're walking, you know, say, I'm engaged in my job. As you're walking from the one room down the hall, God, thank you that I'm not out in the heat today. God, thank you for the lunch that my wife packed. Or God, thank you that whatever it is, be thankful. And I'll tell you, again, it will go from here to the sky. But I'll tell you, there's one more thing besides just being thankful for what God's done. God, thank you for what you just helped me do. And what's the second thing you should already know? God, I need help for what I'm just about to do. Here and here. Present and future. Now, God, I need your help. God, thank you for giving me a safe trip to work, and thank you for giving me a vehicle. Thank you that there was no traffic. Thank you that I didn't hit a deer. God, thank you, thank you, thank you. And now, God, help me. Now, as I pull into the parking lot, Lord, would you help me as I open that door? It's going to be a struggle today. God, would you help me? So-and-so's going to be here today. It's a struggle. We've got an audit today. We've got this. We've got inventory today. God, we've got to do this. God, it's going to be hot in there today. God, it's going to be freezing cold in there today. God, this is going to happen. God, I need your patience to work with this person. God, I'm about to go home. God, would you help me to respond right to my wife? God, would you help me to be a good helpmate to my husband? God, I'm just about ready to teach a Sunday school class. Would you help me as I do this? God, now combine the two. And I've already done this for you before. God, thank you for helping me teach that Sunday school class. Now I've got to go and walk down the hall and help me to be a help to other people. Oh, there's so-and-so. God, help me because they're struggling and help me to be an encouragement. God, thank you for giving me those words that I just helped that person. God, thank you. Lord, help me now. I've got to go in there and I've got to preach. Lord, would you help me? And as I walk down the aisle, God, thank you for helping me preach that message. That was not me, that was you. Lord, help me as I shake hands with these people that I can be a blessing. That's done. Lord, help me as we drive home to give me safety. God, thank you so much for giving me safety. God, thank you for a church that I can minister to. God, help us as we eat, you know, this meal that I eat, you know, right and do the best for my body. God, thank you for that wonderful meal. Lord, help me as I rest this afternoon. God, thank you for that 10 minutes of a nap today. Help me as I'll tell you what, if you would simply thank God and ask for help, your day would be 100% consumed with God, and you would still have your mind on your work, doing what you're doing, just thanking God for his help, and thanking God for what he's done, and asking for help. Now you look at it and say, well, that's really not practicing his presence, that's really not being with God. Well, tell me something better. He is the rock. And if your mind is on the rock, then you're on the rock and you're going to stay there too. How in the world are you going to keep your mind from everything you do? Get your mind on the unmovable rock and his truth. Thou wilt keep him. That's a promise to you, folks. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, it's a conditional statement. In other words, we don't have to keep our minds, but yet we can't claim this truth then. We won't get the perfect peace and the everlasting strength. Thou wilt keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So whoever will, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. The answer to the framework of your thinking and your struggles is with who you're thinking on. My challenge to you today is that you think on the rock. Claim the truth. Claim that truth and don't deviate from that truth. Thank him and ask for help. And you'll walk with him throughout the day. Something that I'm working on. Something that you ought to work on. That's why we go over it every once in a while. I encourage you to think on the rock. Lord, help us. Lord, would you help us? That our minds would be fixed and stayed on you. Help us to trust you. Help us not to worry and fear, not to let our minds go off of the rock. Well, what if, or what if this, and what, oh no. And as soon as we do that, we're up and down and all around. God, help us just to focus on you, even through our work, through our families, through our circumstances in life. God, would you help us? Lord, I think of the song, Be thou my vision. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. O Lord, that is exactly the song that we need. Be thou my vision. Help me to be thankful. Help me to trust you. Help me to ask for your help. God, help us. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.